You're listening to TJ Talks. This podcast probably is going to contain a lot of explicit language, so you're forewarned. And I'm recording now. Welcome to TJ Talks for the last podcast of 2014. Yay. I'm Judd.
And I'm Teresa.
Hey. Well, pre-Happy New Year, Happy New Year.
Maybe the quote should be happy end of year. Because we don't know if we're going to be happy about the new year, but we're happy that this year's over, right? Well, and that we're still alive and kicking.
That's true. Well, I think that we say Happy New Year because we want to look forward to the new year in a positive tone.
I always do. I'm such a sucker for – hell, I'm a sucker for Mondays that way, right? Like, oh, it's a reset button to push. And I'm loving New Year's. I always love it.
Isn't it funny that we do that? We actually look forward to the new year, but we don't look forward to Mondays, most people.
You're right. But anytime it's the first of the month or the, you know, I love that stuff. So the first of the year gets me going.
Yeah. You know, here's the funny thing is that I have to work this Friday.
Me too.
It's like, no, that's not an off day. That should be like a holiday day.
The day after New Year's? Why?
Well, I mean, what's the point of coming back for just
a Friday having it be, yeah. No, yeah. I know what you're saying. I didn't take Friday the 2nd off because that would dip into next year's vacation pile, right? Mm-hmm. So I decided to just leave it as it is. So I didn't, so I'm going to come back to work and sit at my desk in my home office, which is extremely lovely and easy, and hopefully just get organized and, you know, futz around. And although my vacation email and phone and has been very busy for the holidays, which is great. It's good. It's good to have good business. But I was surprised at how much there was to do over vacation. So it'll be good to go back.
Yeah, I don't have that problem with my work because everybody shuts down.
Nice.
So, and I've taken a lot of time this holiday to prepare for my running, and I go to where I work to run.
That's oh, where, okay.
So I go out to Cape Canaveral Air Force Station where I work, uh-huh. and they have all these abandoned roads.
So you can just run for miles and miles, and there's no cars and traffic. And
very few. I see maybe one or two of the whole 21 miles.
That's awesome. And you can just wander around there because you have a pass to get on the base.
I have a badge, yeah.
Oh, so
I
went
out there, had my water with me and everything. And just it was so hot, though, the day I ran my 21 miles. I was pretty dead. I'm thinking with the Disney race, they give you water stations like every mile.
You'll be very hydrated if you partake.
So there's really no reason that I should cramp up or feel bad based on hydration.
The only reason you're going to feel bad is because you've already run a half marathon the day before and a 5K the day before that. Remember, you're doing that. Yeah, and a 10K. So you're running a lot in a short period of time. So the level of hydration that you need, I don't even know if it's humanly possible. I mean.
Oh, I'm telling you. I will tell you, I'm coming out for Tinkerbell, and there's going to be an ass kicking on that half marathon. I plan on it.
Have fun with that.
I'm going for a PR on that thing.
There's no personal records at Disney races, right? I mean, how many photo stops can you make? Well, I mean, you can absolutely do that. I'm just saying that those races don't condone themselves to being sports athletic type races. They're fun.
You know, I don't even stop for those photos because every time there's a line of 30 people and I'm thinking,
right.
I'm going to get picked up.
Yes, I'll get put in the shag wagon or the slag wagon or whatever. If it's a shag wagon, maybe it's fun. I don't know. Right. But if it's the slag wagon, I don't want to go in it.
So. I want my freaking medals. I'm not getting picked up.
Yeah. time is of the essence for us turtle runners. So, yeah.
I'm already starting in the back.
Oh, my gosh. Right. All right. Well, we didn't do our first opening sequence of what are you drinking?
Oh, yes. What am I drinking? Da-da-da-da. What am I drinking? I am drinking Starbucks coffee.
All right. So in the red cup. Now, I'm sorry, but the day after Christmas, the red cups need to be done. Don't you agree?
I do agree.
I don't know. At least by New Year's, the red cups need to be done.
Well, yeah. I'm sure they had some stock of these in there.
They always do, and sometimes it's till like mid-January, and I'm over it by then. I mean, my tree is down generally the day after Christmas, although this year it stayed up 2 extra days. But I think Christmas is done when it's done.
Yeah, I think I agree. I don't like Christmas to go on a day after Christmas.
Well, you get 8 days of Hanukkah, so on the ninth day, aren't you done with it a little bit?
You know what? I think most people are done with it after the first day. Like, okay, we got to keep lighting candles.
More socks tomorrow.
It's the ladies that are doing it. Come on, we got candles.
Yes.
I don't know. Can you just like have a couple candles in different parts of your house for Hanukkah? Why does it all have to be on one candelabra?
No, I agree with you. I think you could have whatever you like in that regard, you right? Know,
why can't you have like stations of the Hanukkah? You know,
I think that could be your new tradition or ritual that you can have a candle anywhere you want for eight crazy nights.
Well, you know, the reason why the Hanukkah menorah is very specific. First off, they had a menorah apparently in the old temple, the original temple. But they're supposed to all be the same height, these candles, because no day is supposed to be more special than any other day.
Oh, interesting. I didn't realize that. Okay.
They don't want to recognize one candle, which represents a day, to be better. That's why when you see those candelabras or whatever, those menorahs, where the candles are different heights, like going up, those are actually not, quote unquote, kosher menorahs. You learn the something new.
Dipped in pork fat, right? They're not allowed.
That's right. Totally. Can't use that one. The ninth candle is the only one supposed to be distinguished separate.
Ah, well, now we know. All right. Good.
Here's one other little tidbit, Hanukkah tidbit, since most people don't know these things. There was a big debate between these two rabbis on, do you light them all the first night and then diminish the lighting down to the last day, kind of like a countdown? Or do you start with one and then go up until you have all eight lit every day?
Right.
This was the big deal.
Okay.
And there was two schools of thought, and the school of thought that went out is the one that we all know today, which is we light them all until they're all lit on the eighth day. Because it's kind of like fireworks. You know? Mm-hmm. You shoot off a few in the beginning, and at the end, you have the grand finale.
Gotcha. So, no, it's true. It's a crowd pleaser at the end.
That's what it is. It's like, hey, you know, at the end, you're like, hoo-ah, you know.
Well, that was good Hanukkah trivia. I'm thrilled. Yeah. All right. Well, you're drinking coffee, and we got to Hanukkah menorah trivia based on that
I want to hear about Three Kings.
Yeah, those three crazy kings that smoked the lotus cigar or whatever. Isn't that the... Well, okay, so I am drinking this morning coffee because it's early here where I am. But I want to know, what are you going to be drinking on New Year's Eve?
That's a good question.
Do you like champagne?
I do. I love champagne, yeah.
All right. Sweet champagnes like Asti, or do you like dry champagne like...
I'm more of a sweet champagne person, but I'll drink the dry.
Yeah, I'll drink any of it, but I love champagne. It does not give me that headache that it traditionally gives a lot of people, but I'm going to be drinking this tonight, and I'm only showing it to you, and nobody in the listening land can see it, but I'm going to describe it, and as I describe it, people are going to have their own instant hangover. It's called Vinique, V-I-N-I-Q. It's called Shimmering Liqueur. So I don't know if you can see this, Jed, but at the bottom of this... Look how cloudy and weird that is, right?
Yeah.
So that is some kind of glitter. And so then you shake it up into the bottle.
Like a Polaroid picture.
Yeah, right? Shake it like a Polaroid picture. Lord knows if I drink enough of it, I'll be shaking it for sure. And then it turns the drink into this little effervescent, shimmery, opalescent, pearly-looking thing.
Wow.
So, and it's purple, which is never good for the next day. But it's pretty.
So either you're peeing purple or you're throwing up purple.
Something's Yeah, I'm going to have a Barney moment in 2015. But it's a fusion of premium vodka, Moscato, and natural fruit flavors. So it's absolutely a headache in a bottle. But it's very pretty. And if you get a chance to go to a BevMo or a Total Wine where you are and shake the bottle up, it looks really pretty when you're done with it. So,
is that expensive?
Yeah. No, it was $20. Are you kidding me?
I was going to say, can I get it in a box?
But you can't put a price on Purple Vomit. Come on.
No, I might be going there here after this. I'm going to go to ABC. We have ABC liquor here as well. That's the big
thing. There you go. Yeah. So you can get there, I'm sure.
I'll stop on my way. Yeah.
Vinique. V-I-N-I-Q. I don't know if there's another
way to pronounce it.
I'm going to probably put it over ice or chill it. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
But I put ice in my wine, so I guess
a lot of people do that. So
of alcohol standards. So all right. Mm-hmm. So now we know what we're drinking now and what we're drinking later.
Mm-hmm.
What else is on the agenda for the day?
Man, we have a couple things to talk about today. We're going to talk about our New Year's. You know, we talk about New Year's resolutions a lot, but the big thing. Yeah. You know, I should go back to that first podcast last year and see what our resolutions were and how miserably we failed, right?
Deja vu, I think, yes. Yeah, okay.
We're gonna lose weight and da-da-da-da-da. But one thing, productivity, we're always looking at productivity. So we're going to talk a little bit about productivity today.
Yes.
And for the new year, because, you know, it's kind of out with the old, in with the new.
I'm ready for it.
We're going to talk about movies, all sorts of movies for 2014 that have come out, and we'll probably focus a bit on the more recent holiday movies, but in general, holiday movies. And then we're going to talk about the top 10, or just maybe highlight some of the great news stories of this last year. Just kind of
an interesting year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then finally, back by popular demand. Actually, it's better than that. It's an annual event we do.
Yeah, we do it every year.
We do our celebrity death pool for the upcoming 2015 time. So we'll throw out some celebrities. And we have a really interesting spin this year on the celebrity death pool, which I think is going to be kind of fun for people who are as morbid and sick as we are. Yes. Apparently, there's a lot.
And our usual disclaimer that we're not wishing anyone to die. We're just going with the statistical probability that some of these people are knocking on death's door as it is.
it's a fact.
We're not looking for ill will or bad karma. We're just saying that, you know, was Amy Winehouse a real surprise for a lot of people a couple of years ago? Like, that's the methodology we're using when we're thinking about these people.
Uh-huh. Exactly. So, let's talk about productivity.
Okay. Well, first of all, was your 2014 productive? Do you feel like you got what you wanted to get done in 2014?
I got divorced. That was productive.
That was a production, all right. Yes.
That was a production. I survived it, and I'm still friends with my ex, so
yeah.
That's a positive spin on kind of a bad life event. You know, I was thinking that maybe for tomorrow or late tonight, or I'm not sure when, I was going to put publicly that my status is single.
That's a great idea for two reasons. A, you finally get it out there and you've been kind of waiting to do that. And yeah. B, it's going to get lost in all the New Year's feed shit, right? Yeah. Like, so you're going to get in there with everybody else and no one's going to really notice that it was you updating your status as single. I think that's perfect. It's like dropping a news story from the White House on Christmas Eve or something. I think this is perfect.
When nothing else, you know, there's plenty of other shit going on. And
yes.
it just happens. And then I thought I would take it away, like, a couple days later. I'd hide it.
Why?
Huh? Why? Because for the entire time that I've been on Facebook, I have not made my marital status public.
Okay.
So I thought I would only do it for a limited amount of time.
Well, then don't do it at all.
Really?
Yeah. You know me. I'm not going to pull any punches with you. Then don't do it at all. If you've never done it, then don't do it. But I think you want to tell people you're single.
I do.
I think you should. And you are single. Be what you are, right?
Right. But see, this is the whole thing, is that I never used it as a pickup
thing. I don't think you'd be using it as a pickup thing now, but I think you'd be letting people who would be inclined to pick up or be picked up that, that's not so off off limits now.
So that's why I was like, you know, when I was married, I didn't really care because I didn't want to bring her into Facebook because she wasn't interested for years.
Right. Right. And maybe the next person you date or marry won't be into Facebook either. You never know. So it won't matter.
So
I don't know. I just think if you're going to do it, just do it.
And keep it.
And keep it, right? And it's true until it changes, and who knows?
But I don't want to be that guy who every time you're dating somebody is updating your status.
Well, don't be that guy. And don't change it until you're fully committed to somebody else. I have a good girlfriend who's the same way. She's single, and she's dated, seriously, people here and there for the last year or so. And she's never changed that status on Facebook because until it's the real deal, the final deal, she's not changing it.
I don't want to add dating this person and all this.
No, don't. That's more information than people need to know. Bottom line is, if you were filling out a tax document, regardless of how committed you are to somebody that you're dating, you're going to put single. You're not married to them, right? So look at it like an IRS form and just tell the truth.
Well, you know, I had for a little while, I did have my status as married for a while. When Jill got on Facebook, I was like,
oh,
I did.
So that was the cleanup act.
Huh?
Okay, well, you had to clean up.
No, she asked me to do it.
Okay.
Because I didn't have any status.
Oh, okay.
So she said, how come you don't list yourself? And I said, well, you never wanted to be on there, so I'm not looking for anybody, so why does it matter?
That is that's the most passive-aggressive way of, I'm sorry, I know exactly what you were doing, and I think you should put... If you want people to know, and it seems like you do, because before you'd never talked about the divorce on the podcast, you've never really talked about it with a lot of our close mutual friends, right? Until now.
Until
so I think now
over.
You're ready.
Yeah. I mean, it's over. So now why should it matter?
And it's not going to hurt her feelings. She knows you're divorced. She was at the court proceedings and you're still friends. And that's the part that speaks highly of you and allows you in the universe the right to move on peacefully. This is my opinion.
Yeah. Well, I'll do it. I mean, the one thing I did change was I did it, but... interested, you know how it has interested in.
Yes.
And
what did you put?
I had put interested in women. I didn't have that down
no,
either.
No, I'm teasing. Yes.
So, okay.
All right. I'm going to be looking for that at 1201.
1201.
Yeah. 901 my time for you to have updated your status to single.
That'll be fun.
If you're going to do it and leave it.
Yeah.
Here's the only other 180 out from that is that. When you call yourself anything in the universe, is that, like, are you proclaiming that for yourself? So are you going to make it harder to be not single? Like, if you don't put a label on anything, is it better? You're just who you are.
Well, sometimes you don't want the attention from people that you get when you have that status. Do you know what I'm saying? That's another part of good ambiguity.
Well, the stalkers are going to come out for sure. So you just have to... narrow that down or block them from the post.
I already have one stalker as it is.
You don't have a stalker? I don't have any stalkers.
I do. Oh, no. I totally do.
That's okay. 2015. I'm going to get one stalker.
One stalker?
I have enthusiasts, but I don't have stalkers.
Really? You know what? Oh, hey, talk about stalking. Apparently, I'm like the Facebook number one stalker for a bunch of people.
We've talked about this before. You are the Uber Facebook friend. Like, you like everything. You don't, I mean, I don't even know how you have time to see all the things that you like. You like everybody's thing. Whenever I put something up, you're the first person 99.9% of the time to like it, which is fine. And you're committed to that. And you have advocated for being that kind of Facebook friend, that you should be involved if you're going to be in social media.
But hey, that's why I'm the public relations guy for the district here for
that's
the state
right.
of Florida.
You have your finger on the pulse of everyone's Facebook.
Yeah, you know, because I saw these newspapers that people have been posting on Facebook.
I was going to ask you about that. Did you do that end of year?
I did, and then I didn't post it.
That's funny.
I chose not to post it. Yeah, but I saw a number of people who posted, and the, you know, they have your top three likers. And I'm like on the top of like a lot of people's list. A lot of them.
That's great. Yeah, there were two going around. There was one that looks like a newspaper, which print is dead. I don't know why they would do that. Right. And the second one was like, I think it was more of a Facebook-generated one where it showed your year in review.
Yeah, there was the year in review from Facebook, which that was cool. And that one was good. But the one that was the newspaper one, that was the one that had the likes.
Yeah. And I haven't done that one yet. I'm almost afraid to.
Well, you don't have to post it. That's what I did. I just said, meh, not posting.
I'll look at it and see. Yeah.
But I was definitely number one on at least four or five people's thing.
That's pretty funny. I'm not surprised. You're a good Facebook friend.
Excuse me.
And now that you're single,
you
can be everybody's Facebook friend.
Oh my
God. All right, so reviewing last year in Facebook world, and announcing that you're divorced, what is your productivity plan for 2015?
Get a new job.
Oh, okay.
That's the plan.
I did that last year, so I'm one ahead of you in that regard.
I know. I'm seriously looking internally within my own company. That's that's the goal. So they've got time right now.
Right.
While I'm rebuilding my life.
Right. See, that is one of the bonuses of working for a mega corporation, right? Like there is in-house opportunity. When you work for a smaller business, sometimes that movement in-house is difficult to muster or manage because A, those positions aren't available and a lot of people are in a position for life already, right? So as long as they're still valid, you can't make that transfer within a smaller organization. So that part is pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so I'm looking for a systems engineering position is what I want to do.
All right, so you're going to get a new job, and you're going to stay single until you're not single. And what else are you doing in 2015?
I really want to get writing a book. That is high on my list. I need to. I actually, last night, I guess it was yesterday, I committed to a five-minute, we'll see how long this lasts, up to around 3 to 5 minutes is what it'll be, audio boo thing.
What's that?
Audio boom. It's a...
Okay.
If you go to my Twitter feed here, you can listen to it.
Okay.
Or you can find it very easily. And basically, it's just kind of like our podcast, but just me talking about crap every day, random thoughts.
Oh, okay. And this is your audio boom. And are you going to cultivate your book based on your booms?
I don't know. No, I'm going to write a fiction novel.
All right. So here's my theme for 2015. It's feet to the fucking fire. Now, we have done this for 4 years now, 3 years now, where we've had this New Year's show and we've talked about our resolutions and we've never really accomplished what we wanted, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying that life is wrong or life is bad or we've been bad people. I'm just saying that you've had this book writing resolution for a while, the same way I've had a couple of my resolutions for a while. So let's just do it.
Okay.
Right? So I don't know if it's a Starbucks bet or whatever, or if it's money or what motivates, but I like the boom idea and I like, and even if you audio boomed 3 minutes about what your book's going to be about. Like, I think that's good. You're getting it out of you and out into the universe.
Well, then we need to have weekly check-ins like we did when you were doing that one thing with the, what was that thing called? Tracker or...
I don't even remember what it was now.
Yeah.
Another failed attempt. But okay, so you've heard of a mastermind group, right?
Yeah, right.
Okay. So maybe we should be our own mastermind group. We have to do it. And that way, the mastermind group is a group of about at least three people. I think we need to invest in one more person. And you talk and commit to each other things, but they don't have to be things that are interrelated. Like, you and I aren't in the same field, and your mastermind project of writing a book doesn't have anything to do with my mastermind project of running a half marathon in 2.5 hours or whatever. But it's holding each other accountable in a weekly session about that. I like this idea. I think this is good, and we need to make it happen.
I completely agree, because I think that's how we'll be successful, is when we have someone else saying, what the fuck? What are you doing?
Well, you have a goal? Yes, you have a goal. And why didn't you fix it or whatever? Because And not that they're going to guilt you into it, but they are going to prompt you into it. And I know you and I have done that for each other. And this year, let's really do it. Let's really do it. Because I have the same repeat. Well, okay. So I didn't make resolutions for this year. And that's a big deal for me because I'm a big resolutioner. But this year I made 12 monthly goals. Okay. So every month I'm going to have a different 30-day challenge or 30-day goal or whatever. And that's going to be how I change in this 2015 year. Now, do I still want to lose 45 pounds? Yes, but you know how I'm doing it. I'm doing this thing called dietbet.com. Have you heard of it?
No.
Okay, so I'm trying to link it to my Facebook because I think the public shaming will actually motivate me in a positive way. Really? So you go on there and you decide, you put your fucking credit card in it. So I am on it. And you pronounce that you're going to lose a certain amount of weight, percentage-wise, I think is how I'm going to do it, by a certain time. And if you don't, you're going to pay $30, right? Or you can pay more than that or less than that or whatever, but that was the amount decided on. And then they have other challenges too that are kind of fun. But I do like that accountability factor and the money factor will hopefully motivate me positively.
Really, the picture in the bikini, the bathing suit, didn't motivate you last time?
Well, it did, and I did lose weight, right? Now, yeah. I didn't fulfill the entire goal of that, but I did lose some weight, and then I eventually got to that goal, which was good. But it's the maintaining it that's the hard part, and we can talk about that on 75 different podcasts. But
oh my god!
But so this is a fun thing. So dietbet.com, and even if I think I can connect you to it, even if you don't want to participate because you don't necessarily have weight to lose, especially now that you're a running machine. But
do you know that I'm gaining monitor. Weight? I am gaining weight with all this running.
Are you fluid retaining or what's going on? Muscle.
Must be muscle. It's got to be because I swear, I mean, I'm eating normal, but you run 21 miles, you're going to freaking burn some serious calories.
Oh, absolutely. If anything, you're probably retaining a ton of fluid and building muscle. I can't imagine that. Yeah. Okay. So that's how I'm going to keep my feet to the fire for my weight loss challenges, right? Like I'm just going to do that. But my monthly challenges, like the first month, is to read for 1 hour a day because I want to read a lot this year.
An hour a day. Wow.
Read for an hour a day. Doesn't have to be one consecutive hour. It can be, you know, 6-10 minute chunks, whatever. Read an hour a day. Like the next month is no TV. I think the third month, I think I gave up like no Facebook or whatever. Like I'm just trying to change things and see how I survive.
No Facebook for a whole month?
Is it like Lent
or something?
That's why I chose that month. Yeah. So, and then 1 month I'm going to call, email, or write someone important to me every day. And you know, there's probably 100 people that are important to me that I haven't reached out to in forever. I'm going to try to do that 1 month. 1 month I have, you know, eat a new vegetable every day. Lord knows I don't eat any vegetables, so they'll all be new to me. So there are things that aren't terribly hard to do.
Hey, are you allowed to tweet? Are you allowed to tweet during the Facebook? Okay.
I haven't fully committed to that one because Facebook does two things for me. It's an outlet, obviously, and it's a way to stay connected, right? I mean, you know, I don't get to talk to you every day, but I see what you put on Facebook every day, and I do appreciate that connectivity. Same with a lot of other friends and family. So, I don't think Facebook is evil. I think when I use it to distract myself from getting regular things done, its powers are not used for good anymore.
Oh, I agree. And I'm just as guilty as anybody about that.
And I have this little ritual where it's the first thing I do in the morning is pop it open. And I want to change that. I just want to be.
Well, you know, some of the things you could probably do to change that the Pavlovian aspect of Facebook.
Right.
Turn off notifications on your phone.
Oh, I did. I don't have any of that.
Really? So you don't get a ding, ding.
No, God, no, because it would be going off all the time. I turned off all my notifications except for text messages.
Okay.
Well, yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
I know it's silly and I should have a stronger brain than that. I just don't, you know.
Yeah.
Paying attention is hard.
I should turn off notifications on Facebook. There's nothing important on Facebook that's happening there.
The other thing I'm doing with my phone in general is I'm going into airplane mode a lot.
Oh, really?
Like, I am, like, for hours of a at a time to get work done, I'm going into airplane mode because I, you know, even a text message here and there that's innocuous or not even meant to distract you, it just does me. I can't refocus. So.
Oh, no. It makes sense. Sometimes you need quiet time.
Yeah. So, and I've been doing the Pomodoro technique. Did we talk about this last time?
Mm-mm.
So the Pomodoro technique is, Pomodoro in Italian means tomato.
Right.
So it's 20 minutes of time, a 20-minute block of time where you work on a specific task, one specific task, and you hopefully get it done. Or if not, you've made a dent 20 minutes worth into it. And the reason it's called the Pomodoro technique is because the guy who started doing it used a timer, a kitchen timer that looked like a tomato. Remember, we always had those in our kitchen and you would twist the top of the tomato and it would count down the kitchen timer. So that's why it's called the Pomodoro technique. And so I've been trying to do that where I'll go into airplane mode for 25, 30 minutes and then I reconnect. And then I have, you know, it advocates giving yourself 8 to 10 minutes when you're done to kind of get back into things and look at what you want to. So you feel like you're not being deprived of your own entertainment and then you carry on with your day. So I don't know. I'm always looking for stuff like that. I've now subscribed to a website called AsianEfficiency.com because, and it's a real thing where they talk to you about how to be more productive and how to,
they're just going to send you a Asian mom.
Which would be fine. I could use one of those.
What do they call them? Tiger mom? You're going to get a tiger mom.
That's what I need. I need my own tiger mom. So I got that going for me. So anyway, my things for the year that are repeats are, of course, health and weight loss. Okay, fine. Reading more, which is a repeat, but I think it's doable. And then the rest of it, that's it. That's all I'm leaving out there. I'm not making the big list.
I am totally going to play in this podcast. I will pull the New Year's resolutions from last year. I'm going to play some of those.
Oh, no.
I'm going to cut those in so we can remind people what we were talking about. Because last year's episode, if you go to episode 59, it was called Breaking Bad New Year. So if you have a chance, you can pull that one up too. If you want to hear how we performed, but I'll probably cut in some of our New Year's resolutions that we had. Listen to the end of our podcast today.
And I will say this for the last time, you know, me in the last couple of months, especially with being so scattered and traveling so much, I've really gotten addicted to my journaling and my bullet journaling for my day to day tasks.
Oh,
I'm going to learn how to use Evernote so that I can have all of my paper digitized in one location. If anyone uses Evernote that listens to the show and is successful with it, please reach out to me and let me know your Evernote hacks because I want to have complete knowledge of that app and use it well. And I feel like on the day-to-day basis, I get a lot of shit done, right? Considering. So if I just hone that, I want to close my eyes at night and feel like I'm ready for the next day. And that's maybe my biggest goal for 2015. So feet to the fire, Spitzer.
Feet to the fire.
That's the theme.
That's also the name of today's podcast.
Feet to the fire.
Feet to the fire.
My toes are burning.
That's it. New Year.
And if I got to have my ultimate wish for 2015, which would be to go to a Tony Robbins seminar, because you know me and Tony Robbins, I think he's he's cute and he's fun and my God, the man can be more successful and motivating. And his thing at the end of every seminar is you walk on the hot coals, right? So talk about putting your feet to the fire.
Huh. Yeah, I know a gal who will hook you up.
Okay, hook me up with Tony Robbins.
Huh?
All right.
She's a friend of mine on my Facebook page, and I'll connect you.
Please do.
She's moving to California here in the beginning of the year to San Diego.
Oh, perfect.
She's a Tony Robbins coach, life coach.
Oh, I definitely want to connect with her. But don't connect us on Facebook on the month that I'm not on Facebook.
Right.
All right. Have we beat the New Year's resolution bandwagon?
Completely.
Yeah. All right.
I have one thing that's not resolution oriented to talk about real quick. This will be just 3 minutes. LED light bulbs.
Okay.
I'm redoing my whole place.
Yes.
Right. I'm painting. I'm doing reorganizing my shelves and all this kind of stuff. And I don't know if you've looked at LED light bulbs in the past, but they're like, you know, $50 a light bulb used to be.
Yeah.
Well,
now they're cheaper.
Now they're a lot cheaper. I said at IKEA, you can get light bulbs there, which are probably the equivalent of a 40, 50 watt bulb, something like that, for around $3 and change a piece.
Much better, right? The technology has obviously gotten cheaper.
They last 20 years.
Right, right, right.
And so at Home Depot, they had some that they're about $7 a bulb. Mm-hmm. I'm replacing every light bulb that I have with LED in the house.
And then, yeah, we've started to do that as well. It does make a difference. Light is nice and bright, too. It's a good bright light.
I didn't think it was going to matter, but the fact that they're not hot and the fact that the cost of ownership is completely diminished.
Absolutely. For that length of usage, of course.
You know, you could leave them on. You can leave the house and leave the lights on all the time, and your cost is negligible.
Okay. The scintillating light bulb talk, though.
I know. But anyway,
that range.
But, yeah.
Announcing your divorce and your switch to LED light bulbs. I like that range. Spencer.
You like that? Mm. I want everybody switch to LED light bulbs. I'll come up with a company so we can all buy stock in it, and we'll be good, right?
I like that. All right.
Make money. Okay. Hey, at least it wasn't an Apple conversation now, right?
It's true. We didn't discuss anything Apple for 2014. All right. Well, we'll save that for 2015 when we both get our iPhone 6s.
Exactly.
Right? All right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's move on. We're going to talk some movies.
Okay.
All right. So let's hit it with some holiday movies.
So you've seen more than me.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what you've seen.
I have seen The Hobbit.
Okay.
I have seen Night at the Museum. And where they destroy the British Museum.
Okay.
Let's see. And then I saw Into the Woods. So those are the three that I've seen so far. And I have more I'd like to see.
I've only seen Wild. And I loved it. So now you, thumbs up, thumb down quickly. Into the Woods, thumb up or thumb down?
Thumbs, for me, thumbs down. But not because it's so bad of a movie. It's because I just wasn't prepared for a musical.
Did you not know it was a musical going in?
No.
I
did feel that the story went on longer than it needed to.
Okay. Fair enough.
I was like, okay, well, all right, well.
Whatever. So would it make you more or less inclined to go see the stage show if it ever came to town?
Less.
Less? Ooh, ouch. You didn't like it then.
Yeah. All right, well. And I'll tell you why. All the songs sounded the same.
What's Sondheim, right?
Isn't that the?
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. You don't have to love everything. Did you like Les Mis in the movie form?
I didn't see the movie. I've only seen a local play production, and I did like that.
Okay. So you don't hate musical theater altogether.
No.
You just weren't into Into the Wood.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was, it did feel
cute
very.
She was in it, though. Like Anna Kendrick. My God, she's so pretty.
Oh, there was some good looking ladies in there.
Yeah. That lots kept of me in corsets and bosoms and all that. Yeah.
Kept me there in the theater.
He stayed through the final act, huh?
Yeah. Well, you know, Tracy Ullman, I almost left, but.
Oh, yeah. That's sad.
Well, I mean, it has good production value, but I just felt the song seemed very sing-songy.
Okay. Well, I'm sure Stephen Sondheim will take note of that and correct. Sure
give a fuck less. Who the
All right,
hell
tell
is
me about,
me?
Yeah, whatever. Spitzer, your notes are taken. Tell me about Night at the Museum. Thumb up or thumb down?
I'm going to give that like a 7.5 stars or.
Okay, that has nothing to do with thumbs, but okay.
I know. It's one of these. I'm going to give a thumbs up. If I'm going to have to give it up or down, I'm giving it an up.
Okay. All right. And Robin Williams, of course, was it tragic and sad? And did people clap when he came on screen or whatever folderol people are doing?
No, I don't think you watch that movie thinking, oh, this guy is dead.
Okay.
You don't go, you don't see that there's no connection between Robin Williams, the guy who committed suicide, and Robin Williams, the actor in this movie. He acts as you expect him to act. He plays the character you expect him to play. And you get a lot of closure. If you're a fan of the series,
right,
this gives you closure. In fact, realistically, this is better placed. You could do without one of the other middle. Is this the fourth movie?
No, it's the third one.
Third. So yeah. The second movie, you probably, if you didn't see that one, but you saw the first one, you wouldn't be missing anything.
Right.
Although the one that's there in the second one is really a fun movie because the sure. Smithsonian is just
Smithsonian, right? Yeah,
it's
right.
just like I've been there. A lot of us have been there, so it's like wow. Right. The British Museum. I don't think they did as good of a job with that because it's such a massive museum, and you didn't really get the feel of that how massive that museum is. Okay. But they did film there, and there were some really good shots of the museum because I've been there myself.
Right.
And it was cool.
Did you see it in IMAX or 3D?
I did.
Okay, so you got that full experience as well. Okay.
Yeah. It was just coincidence. I didn't plan on it. It just that's what was playing, and I said, okay.
Yeah, why not, right? Yeah. If there's a chance to see something in IMAX, I will definitely do it. 3D, I'm 50-50 on, but the IMAX part I like.
But they had Mickey Rooney, who passed away,
was in it
as well. And so you had all of the connection of all of the characters from the original movie, which is what, like 7 years old?
Yeah.
You know, all of those people were still alive and in this current movie. Dick Van Dyke, you know?
Yeah.
And they kind of explained the tablet that makes all of the museum pieces come to life and everything. And what's his name? The museum curator who is, the evil comedian.
Makes
fun of all of the celebrities of the Golden Globes.
Okay. Interesting.
He was very, very good as well.
Okay.
So I can't think of his name. I should know it. Let's see. But anyways, I think they could have probably done just a little bit of little different, couple things, little different, but all in all, it was a great movie.
Okay. Interesting. Well, all right. So you were thumb sideways on that one.
Yeah, but mostly up. And then I saw The Hobbit.
Okay. And that's the final one of those.
Yeah.
Okay. And
I contend that it would have been better for them to just shown the cartoon.
Okay. You've never really been a fan of The Hobbits.
I felt I had to go see it to get my closure. I had to watch Smaug die. Oh, spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Jeez.
I mean, they kill the dragon. Duh. Okay. Everybody knows. Come on.
All right. Yeah. Well, so JP and the boys went and saw it because it's been their boy thing to do to go see these Lord of the Rings / Hobbit movies. And so, of course, they had their bonding of experience over that. I mean, I haven't seen any of them, so I can't make any comment. I like the idea of the big spectacular, you know. I think that's fun. I think it's great. And I think the IMAX 3D is a good thing. So now, all right, so those were your three. And then my chick flick that I saw was Wild. And I know we talked about Wild on this podcast when I was reading the book because – it was a book that kind of changed. I mean, I really enjoyed it. My life is kind of dramatic, but she's a great author. And when I read that book and then found the other things that she's done, Cheryl Strayed. Okay. So she was a early 30s, late 20s woman who'd had a lot of loss in her life, lost her mom, never really had her dad, estranged from her brother, had been married to someone that she loved desperately, but she wasn't a great married partner. So they get divorced. So she wants to sort of lose herself and reinvent herself while hiking the Pacific Crest Trail from essentially El Cajon area in Southern California to Mount Olympia in Washington. So she walks over 1,100 miles over the course of 90 to 100 plus days and backpacks the entire way. So in her experiences there and her sort of catharsis of going through being sad to happy to getting over it and being angry and all of those things. At one point, she was a little bit addicted to heroin. So she made some bad choices. And so it really kind of helped her kick a lot of demons. It's a great book. And then when you learn about her as an author, she is also an advice columnist and we've talked about this on the show too, from rumpus.net called Dear Sugar. And there's an amazing book called Tiny Beautiful Things that she authored, and it's a collection of the letters that she answered on as a columnist for Dear Sugar. So she's, you know, Dear Abby, Ann Landers, all of that. Dear Sugar also has now its own podcast. So if you get a chance to listen to that, I think it's called Dear Sugar podcast.
I've mentioned that
before. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that'll be interesting. They did one show before the end of the year. So Wild stars Reese Witherspoon, and she portrays the character great. And she has to age range drastically from almost teenager to 30-year-old woman. And Reese Witherspoon is in her late 30s, if not 40. So she looks amazing, which is a bonus. And she absolutely portrays that character well. And having been a fan of both of theirs on Facebook or liking them, you can mm-hmm. see the evolution and the fact that those two women like each other was very powerful, and that Cheryl got her vision for the movie really got to come across. So, yeah, if you get a chance to go see it, you might like it. It's definitely an adventure story, let alone all the drama involved with women and hormones and whatever it is that we do that makes life dramatic. So I think it's good.
Okay. Cool.
All right. So that's holiday movies. There's more to see, and I will try to get to more before Oscar time, because we always have a fun time with that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I'll just go over some of the big movies from the last year.
Yeah.
And tell me what you think. Captain America Winter Soldier.
Saw it. Loved it.
Super big blockbuster. Guardians of the Galaxy.
Loved it. Music was great.
You know what's funny that's making the list here is the Lego Movie.
I didn't see that. Kids loved it.
Yeah. I saw it. It was okay. But I think a lot of people, if you love it, you love it. And if you're like, eh. You
know, who needs it, right? Yeah.
Maleficent.
I didn't see it.
I saw it. I felt like it was Wicked. Wicked for Sleeping Beauty. That's what that was.
Aha.
So, yeah. Didn't like their take on that.
Okay.
For me, because I so love the Disney version, the real animated version.
Right.
X-Men Days of Future Past. I forgot that movie even came out.
It's just another one of those movies, right? It's every week there's one of those.
Yeah. Amazing Spider-Man 2.
No, thanks.
I did like that. The new version of Spider-Man is better than the old as far as the story goes.
Okay.
And so if you get a chance, see it. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, did not see it, but mm-hmm. it was blockbuster. Godzilla, didn't see that one either.
No, my finger is not on the zeitgeist anymore.
I know. And 22 Jump Street, I didn't see that either. Yeah.
Although I like Channing Tatum.
Yeah. So there you go. There's a top 10 movies.
All right.
Did I miss one? Oh, Transformers. There was another Transformer movie out.
Okay, so 9 or 8 of those movies are repeats of something else. And I know, like, Guardians of the Galaxy, or sequels, I should say, or, you know, spinoffs of other ones. And there's going to be multiple Guardians of the Galaxies, too. So
can't wait.
Any original movies on there? I don't think so.
No, not really. Not
interesting.
No, they're either – well, the Lego movie is.
Yeah, I guess. And I know there's going to be more of those.
Yeah. You know, a movie that I'd like to see is The Imitation Game.
That looks great. The Big Eyes movie looks really great.
I almost saw the Big Eyes movie, and then I went to Into the Woods instead.
Oh, so. Now you got to redeem yourself at the movies.
Yeah, I know. All right.
So that'll be good. Well, 2015, we'll see more movies.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So moving on to some of the big news stories of the day.
Yeah.
Because we'll take a few minutes to talk about that.
So what do you think was the biggest news story, you know?
I have a list of what appear to be the top 10, and I'll tell you what I think out of that is my number one news story.
Okay.
So we got Obamacare as one of the news stories because it was upheld, I guess, this last year, right?
Yes, after how many attempts to overturn it, yes.
Domestic violence with the NFL was a hot topic.
Right.
Islamic State with Iraq and Syria and that whole thing and these beheadings. The Jody Arias event there, which I think that's in South Africa, right?
No, that's the Michael Pistorius one.
Oh, okay.
Jody Arias was in Arizona.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, she's the one who shot the guy in the shower. And then Michael, or the Pastoria guy, is the one who shot his girlfriend at, in the middle of the night because he thought she was an intruder.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Ferguson riots, racial tension.
Absolutely.
Malaysian airliners, leaked photos on the internet for celebrities, midterm elections.
Yeah.
I can't believe Death of Robin Williams makes the list.
Sure.
And it was revealed after his death that he was in the early stages of Parkinson's disease.
Right.
Interesting. Did not know that. An Ebola epidemic.
We talked a lot about Ebola. And, yeah, I think that was a big news story. Time made it their person of the year, the Ebola workers. I get it. It's ugly and it's awful. But the percentage of people it affects is terribly small compared to just the fucking flu, right? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Now, I was still scared out of my mind that I was going to get it, but I just don't see.
So what was the big news story?
I think the biggest news story is the Malaysian airline missing still. Because there was another one that went missing just the other day. Air Asia or whatever, right?
And they found
They've already found debris and people and stuff. And this other one is just gone. And there's nothing.
Not a thing. Not a body. Not a nothing.
There's something more to that story. And I love, you know, I'm not wearing a tinfoil hat at the moment, but there's something tinfoil hat worthy about this story. And it kind of just vanished. I know CNN was really on it for a long time and sort of to a sad degree, right? They wouldn't let it go. But I still think there's more to that story that we don't know because really a whole plane and all those people and whatever. I get it. The ocean is big, but I don't know.
I think that's a big news story, but I still think that the racial tension in America that Ferguson is kind of sparked off between cops and black Americans is the huge story for this year. Because I think that we're in a situation where people are flipping out of their mind about law enforcement and race. Those two things are so hot right now. About
right.
how people feel about America.
Yeah.
Not all Americans get a fair shake.
Yeah, I agree. No, you're right. That is obviously a very hot story in all meanings of that word. And the thing that I think will be interesting is how it carries over into 2015 and what becomes of it, right? Is there going to be any change? And is there going to be any questioning of this complete militarization of our police forces and there, you know, like what? So yeah, there's a lot going on there. And yes, that's a very important story. That will keep evolving, I'm sure. Hopefully we will keep evolving along with it. That's the scary part.
Well, I mean, I have a friend and when you hear your friends talk about how they feel that they're discriminated against just by the color of their skin, it makes you feel like, you know, I don't feel that way. But if that person perceives themselves that way, that they can't go places because, you know, this isn't 1960. This is 2014. And that's where we're at. We are turning back the fucking clock.
Yes. In a lot of ways that are very sad. Very, so, very sad. Yeah. You know, no, I agree with you. I think it's there's a lot to still come from it. It's not done.
It is not done.
It ain't done yet.
2015, expect to see marches. You know, you thought there was a million man march and all that crap. There's going to be a 10 million man march or people march. You know,
interesting stuff, right?
You know, and there's like the thought that, oh, well, our president's black. So, hey, you know, we have racial parity and everything.
We're all fixed.
We're all fixed now. Yeah. You know, go look at the bumper stickers on people's car and you might have a different opinion about that.
Right. So what were some of the hot internet trends of this year? Like some, the ice bucket challenge. And
That's true.
You did the ice bucket challenge, right?
I did because I was crazy. But I was at the beach. You know what really made me mad about that was the people complaining about, you know, you're wasting water. We're in a drought here in California. You're wasting water.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I think that's funny. I mean, Tinder was an internet trend of 2004, or it's still a thing.
Tinder?
You know? Yeah.
I'm still waiting. I have a Tinder date that still has yet to happen.
I love it. And so you're swiping right or left on people?
I totally swipe right and left.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Oh, well, yes. You know, we tried. We had our own internet Trent experiment in 2000.
Trent, yes. Yeah, Trent me. Although that hasn't really worked out too well, I don't think.
I definitely think that that's sort of a weird, it's just not an easy program to use. So, yeah.
I'm ready to delete that.
But I think, like, you know, video wise and all that, like the top memes of 2014, I love that stuff.
I make memes all the time.
Well, yeah, you have the meme maker on your phone or whatever,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you can do it too.
Like, I have it. I just haven't done it.
Everyone download Aviary. If you don't have Aviary as a photo editor, you're missing out.
Okay, I love this because I'm going to read these things off to you and you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about without looking at the images, right? Because everyone's the photo of Ellen and all the actors at the Academy Awards. Ellen's selfie. You know exactly what that is. Pharrell's hat. You know exactly what that is without looking at it. Crazy, you know, the word selfie has really kind of come into its own and made it such a thing.
And we talked about how I hate that word.
About selfie? Yes.
Yeah. Like panty.
Do you remember that guy? Yeah. That's not a good word either. His name was Jeremy Meeks. And you don't know him by his name, but if you saw his mugshot, he's got the most dreamy mugshot ever.
Really?
His mugshot went viral in 2014.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah. The gentleman from the U.S. soccer team, Tim Howard, was nicknamed the Minister of Defense for the United States because he did such a great job defending goals. And then the October feminist video while the woman walked down New York City streets and got catcalled 100 times.
Yeah, right.
Like, you know, you don't have to be looking at those images, but you remember who those people are and what that stuff was. So
everybody's
this stuff's pretty powerful. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Very interesting. So let's see. I can't wait to see what 2015 will bring.
Absolutely. I want to make one. Come on. Can we just make a video and get it to go viral and make $1 million and retire?
The sad thing is that those people are usually not, it's not a flattering thing.
That's true. Yeah. Come on. Can you like be scantily clad and go walk around and I'll take a video camera and, you know, and you'll get catcalled and we'll get 1,000 million hits and we'll put on YouTube and, you know, retire on the residuals down in the Bahamas.
That's funny. I love the fact that the one thing that was supposed to go viral was that stupid Kim Kardashian oil on her butt thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and that's not on any of these lists of top 2014 internet moments. So that makes me happy.
I'm not really impressed at all. I mean, I'm not an ass man anyway, so.
Yes, ladies, he's now single.
Uh-huh, that's right. I mean, there's a lot more than just, you know, a naked big ass on the internet.
If I want one of those, I can look at mine at home.
I am not Sir Mix-a-Lot, okay?
Fair enough. All right.
All right. So,
let's move on to the finale.
The finale. Here it is.
The biggest firework in our display.
Cue the drum roll for this, or whatever we're doing, right? Because here it is. It's time for the Celebrity Deadpool.
Dun, dun, dun. All right. Who we think may not make it through 2015.
Right. Well, to start off with, let's talk about, you want to talk about our picks first? And then talk about...
Yeah, let's talk about our picks first so we're not influenced by...
Okay. So we get three. You get a celebrity, a politician, and someone of note. So
okay.
I'm going to go with my celebrity for this year is Jerry Lewis.
Jerry Lewis. See, now that's a smart pick because...
Rock me, Jerry Lewis.
Right.
Jerry Lewis. Okay.
And... So he's not going to be hosting his Muscular Dystrophy Association telethon on Labor Day? You think he's going to kick it?
I don't think he does it anymore anyways. I think it's been passed on.
Will it be a national day of mourning in France? Don't they love Jerry Lewis in France?
I think so. I am not happy with that guy. He has said some really shitty things.
Like, okay,
talking about Lucille Ball being a shitty comedian or not a comedian. Just anything about women. He's very misogynistic.
Oh, really? Oh, I hadn't heard that. Oh, yeah. Charming. Huh.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, obviously you have to respect his longevity of time in the industry. And he's another Lance Armstrong type, right? Like, okay, Lance Armstrong's a lying prick, but he made a shitload of money for cancer research. So Jerry Lee Lewis may be a misogynistic bastard, but he made some money for the Muscular Dystrophy Association. he changed the grocery industry by having his whole Isles of Smiles campaign that went along with that, where, you know, every time you bought certain products, you were contributing. So there was a lot of money made based on his charitable endeavors.
Okay.
But no, I know, you know, and the trains ran on time when Hitler was ruling the world. So I get it. That's, you know, you can always find that silver lining in a very, very dark cloud.
Are we judged by our character, or are we judged by our, you know,
what did you really do versus what did you do wrong? Right. And we talked about this with Lance Armstrong. You know, okay, he lied about taking drugs, and that was a lie. That was bad. But did he maim anyone or hurt anybody other than himself by doing it? Not really. I mean, you know, and he made a lot of money for cancer. So.
Well, it's like the putting an asterisk on people who made home runs after what's his name?
With steroids and Barry Bonds and all that stuff.
Yeah, all that stuff. You know, that nobody anymore they shouldn't be the equivalent.
Right. So, all right. Well, so here's my... Okay, so tell me if this is loud, all right? Because I will take less points for this. But I'm not going to name someone specific, but I'm going to name something specific. And someone from the cast of Partridge Family is going to die this year. Yeah, somebody from Partridge Family is going down. And it could be any one of those people. Danny Bonaduce is probably topping the list because he's always a little bit radical and crazy. Mm-hmm. So I get it. I'll get a percentage of points based on the fact that there's 8 people potentially that could die, right?
Okay. But if they're all in the bus together on their way to a gig and the bus gets... then you're good to go.
Then that would be a trifecta or whatever you would call that. Yes. Oh. All the partridges in one fell swoop.
All the partridges in one pear tree. I got it.
Okay, that is horrible.
Okay.
Now, so that's my celebrity pick.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you want to do the politician?
Yep.
Okay.
I am going for Henry Kissinger on my list as my politician.
All right. And you think he's ripe for the pickings for the Grim Reaper because?
Is he even on this list? Because he's old. He's freaking old. I mean,
yeah.
Right?
Right.
I mean, he's been around forever.
It'd be interesting to go into the offices of the New York Times or whatever. You know, they pre-write a lot of obituaries.
Oh,
so they have this stuff ready to roll when it happens at a moment's notice.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I am sure.
Okay, my political figure is Queen Elizabeth. I'm going the oldie but goodie route as well. I feel like she's going to be done at some point. And what's his name? Her husband, Prince Philip, is already in and out of the hospital quite a bit. So I think she's probably up there. And can you imagine the world phenomenon of if and when she does die? Like, it's going to be a thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Information about
Well, shouldn't she just have the big, what was that thing where she went all around the kingdom and everything? The Jubilee?
Yes, her Diamond Jubilee.
Jubilee, yes. Yeah.
So, yeah, she's been queen for 75 years. Mm-hmm. And frankly, don't you think she should just step down and let Charles have it?
I do think that. There's a point in time when you just kind of let it go.
At some point, she's got to be a little bit of wagging her motherly finger at him, like, I'm not letting you do this because, you know. So, oh, yeah. So Queen Elizabeth is mine. Now, who is your person of note?
Billy Graham.
Oh, okay.
Billy Graham.
Did you choose anybody who wasn't 90?
You know, I don't think so. I think I definitely chose the folks that were way up there. Although I didn't choose the oldest people on the list. And we're going to talk about that here in a second. So.
Right. So here's my third person of note. And you probably know who he is. Andrew Zimmern, the guy from...
Really?
Yes. Okay, and here's why he's worth a lot of points. He isn't that old. Uh-huh. He's old enough. He's he eats all that weird stuff. He's going to find out inadvertently that he's allergic to blowfish or something, and he's going to go down like the crocodile hunter did in his own environment, right?
He's awesome to have on your list. And, I mean, obviously you don't want him to die, but, I mean...
I want him to keep eating weird shit, but...
But that motherfucker has a death wish.
He does!
I think Billy Graham has a death wish because, well, let's just face it, you know, he blames everything on that God's doing bad things to people.
Well, yeah, but he's guaranteed a spot in heaven, right?
No, he doesn't get a spot in heaven. I heard this really funny comedy thing done by Monty Python the other day. It was about Welcome to Hell.
Okay.
And he's talking about all the different people who are in hell and... You know, he's talking about fornicators over here, blah, 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 all these people, you know, and dividing them up and where they're going to be. And if you have to go to the bathroom, sorry, you know, there's, you know, if you should have went before you came.
Oh, my gosh.
It was very funny.
That's awesome.
So then at the end of the thing, he's talking about the Christians and, you know, I want all the Christians over here and I have some sorry news for you, but the Jews were right.
Oh, my God. That's funny.
In fact, I have it here. I'll let you know what the skit was. But it was Monty Python because, you know, they were talking about it. If you've seen Monty Python's search for the Life of Brian.
Right. It'll make sense.
Yeah.
All right. So we didn't do this beforehand, although some of your picks are on this list.
Yeah.
The Ranker.com Celebrity Death Pool list is interesting. And they had a couple from 2014 that they were right on.
Yeah.
Who was it that died that they had on this list? Olivia de Havilland died, right?
No.
And then...
No.
Yeah, she did. Yeah,
what?
Didn't she? I thought she did.
She's not listed as dead on the list.
Oh, that well, I'm reading
did Amanda Bynes die?
No, she's on the list, though, because she's trouble.
And so is Lindsay Lohan.
Right. Yeah, I don't think she's going to... I think she's off the brink.
Yeah, and they have votes. If you go here, you can find out how many people have voted for these people to live or die. So just so you know, we're not the only sick bastards out there in the world. There actually is an official, much more official list than just what we think. Zsa Zsa Gabor, she tops the fucking list. She's 97 years old. She has 773 votes. Followed by Abe Vigoda as getting, you know, that guy, he's 93. He is on the list, you know, famous for Barney Miller. And he had his own show, Fish, for a while.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Obviously not a millennial favorite. So I think he died.
Kirk Douglas is 98 years old.
Well, just looking at this list, it's interesting to see people's ages. I mean, that's, you know, who knew?
Right. Carol Channing. I always thought she was dead anyways.
That should be the name of this list. Oh, these people are still alive?
Right. I thought she was a puppet.
But they've got some interesting people, you know, the Barbara Bushes, the Keith Richards, you know, I think he shows up on everybody's list from time to time. So
Bob Barker.
Charles Manson is 80.
Isn't that crazy?
And he's getting remarried.
Yeah. Artie Johnson, I didn't realize he was alive still.
Okay, this is a sad conversation.
And, you know, the fact that I know who he is. But if you used to watch Laugh-In,
of course.
You know, he was the guy who played the kind of the German guy at the fields. He did a bunch of actual different guys.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah.
But he was like a character comedian on there, and he'd be like, very interesting.
So, go to ranker.com and check out who's still alive and you didn't know they were and who should be dead by now, according to them.
I just want to point out that Betty White is 35th on the list. That's like way down on the list. You know,
she's not going anywhere.
She's not going anywhere. No.
She's around. Yeah, that's why she didn't make my list this year. She's fine.
Bill Cosby is 77. He's only two down from Betty White. So he probably has a better chance.
Look out, Betty. Don't drink that drink he gave you.
You know, Charlie Sheen was going to be on my list. He totally was. He's number 41 on the list.
He had a moment this year where he was back on TMZ or whatever, being drunk at a Taco Bell, which was awesome. But I don't think he's going to die.
No.
Yeah.
Jim Neighbors is still alive. He would have been a good one on the list.
All right. We wish everyone health and success and well-being.
Shia LaBeouf is on the list.
Yeah. He was on my short list of people to name this year.
Why is he on the list? He's only 28.
He's erratic and crazy. He got arrested for masturbating in a theater this year, didn't he? Or something.
Did he?
Or drunk in a theater. Maybe he wasn't masturbating. I don't know. Maybe that was Pee Wee Herman. But yes. Yeah.
You know, here's some names that definitely should be high on the list. Leonard Nimoy, 83 years old.
Okay.
Stan Lee, 92.
Oh.
Mel Brooks, 88.
No.
I know.
I don't want to hear this list anymore. It's making me sad. I want to be happy for the new year.
I'm telling you, it's crazy, huh? Although I don't, you know who I don't see on the list? Where is William Shatner?
Maybe they think he'll live forever.
Well, he probably has a deal with the devil, right? Shatner's not even in the top 100 people. Corey Feldman is on the list before Shatner.
Before Shatner.
Adam West is on the list before Shatner. Clint Eastwood. Right. Britney Spears. I mean, come on. Oh, wait. Shatner is 120 on the list. George R.R. Martin tops Shatner on the list.
Oh man, don't tell JP about George R.R. Martin because he definitely would be upset if he quit living.
Yeah.
Well, we need him to write more books.
And O.J. Simpson is 122. All right. Well, at least now people have perspective of the kind of people that we're talking about with the celebrity Deadpool.
Yes.
And we want to hear. So tweet to us somehow, TJ Talks Deadpool. And your thoughts of who's going down in 2015.
Okay. whose feet will be to the ultimate fire.
Feet to the fire. All right. Well, for TJ Talks, am I wrapping it up too soon?
Well, no. We can do our little, moment.
Okay.
Talking about what we talked about.
Yeah, we did talk about a bunch of things. We talked about our productivity for the year. Talked about movies. Talked about some of the great, awesome things that was in the news cycle for the year. And then finally, Celebrity Deathpool. So
so if they find that Malaysian airline
in
2015, I want to win a prize.
You will win a prize.
I love it.
All right. We will wrap it up now.
All right.
For TJ Talks, I am Judd.
And I'm Teresa.
And we will try to do 35 podcasts this next year, and we'll chat with you later.
Talk at you later. That's just it. You're predestined for some resolution fruition.
I am. Right now, I've been working on a half marathon training, and I will be running that January 11th. So right away, bam, I get one resolution out of the way.
And how long have you been training?
Since the beginning of November.
Okay.
Actually, before that, if you think about it, because I was training for the 5K that I ran in Key West, because for Fantasy Fest, as much as we talk about boobs and stuff, but there's a lot to do down there.
What else is going on in 2014?
And then, of course, get my DTM.
Yep. All right, we're going to hold you to that.
Hold me to the DTM. If I can, as long as this one more thing that I can.
Personal improvement.
Oh, you know what I want to do? I want to finish writing the damn app. I'm an app developer. I pay for the damn thing.
Driven desire to be more organized in 2014. Mm-hmm. And so I'm doing things around my home to get organized and making things make sense, right? I live in a small space. there's four of us here. We all have our own. Okay, I'm going to run a half marathon. I'm going to run in September.
Really?
I'm going to run a Disneyland half marathon.
Disneyland half marathon.
I've run every one except last year.
Have you signed up?
Chasing Boobs is not running a 5K, but all right. Well, all right. You whatever you want to call it.
It wasn't a nude 5K, okay?
Fair enough.
I've already done that.
Then check that box.
Check that box. Ticket. Done. Yeah.
maybe I should put that on my resolution list. Maybe right. I should aim for that.
We should all aim for that.
All right. So you've got a half marathon, 13.1 miles.
Right.
All right. At Walt Disney World, which will be fabulous.
Yep.
Because it's entertaining and fun and, you know, good weather and all of that great stuff.